الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إني أمرت أن أكون أول من أسلم ولا تكونن من المشركين صدق الله العظيم All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader As Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us and we ask Allah Ta'ala to continue showering His favors upon us through His kindness and through His beneficence and through the fact that He is all loving. We must never ever lose this important aspect of making shukr because if we have to look at our a'mal, and our general relationship with Allah Ta'ala, we are not entitled, we don't deserve anything. But Allah Ta'ala is so kind that despite all our shortcomings and our disobedience, yet He is still being showering His blessings upon us. And the one thing that will ensure that we are in the mercy and the favor of Allah is continuous shukr. It makes a person acknowledge the greatness and the kindness of Allah Ta'ala. And it actually puts a person onto one of the most beloved acts of Allah Ta'ala, but that is loved by Allah Ta'ala, and that is to praise Allah. So praise Allah Ta'ala continuously, and be conscious how we are using the ni'mats. Respected friends and brothers, if we have to ponder on the state of the nation is in a state. Because those of us who had the opportunity of watching or hearing about or reading about what happened last night undoubtedly makes us very worried in the sense that if that is the state of the highest seat of legislation in the country, if that is the behavior of those who many of us said we have voted and put them into power, that is the behavior of those people who are expected to be running the affairs of the country. And if that is how it is going to be, then we don't have to worry about the state of the nation. It's already, that in itself tells us it's not in a very good state. So we find that it is important that we are aware of who our rulers are. And at the same time, we are also must be aware of how Allah Ta'ala determines the actions of our rulers. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in one hadith, "A'malukum ummalukum," that your actions are your rulers. If our actions are in accordance to the commands of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala puts such kind of rulers over us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us one dua. He says, Allahumma la tusallit alayna bidhunubina, man la yakhafuka wa la yarhamuna. That, O Allah, do not place upon us such rulers who have no fear of you and who show no mercy upon us. And there's another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once was admonishing the Sahaba. He said, if you don't do amr bil ma'aruf and nahi anil munkar, if you don't exhort people to do good and don't prevent them from evil, then Allah Ta'ala will place such rulers over you that will have no mercy for your youngsters and will show no kindness and no consideration for your elders. Then even when you make dua to Allah Ta'ala will not listen to your du'as. If you, in other words, neglect your obligations to Allah Ta'ala in whichever form it might be, then be aware that this is going to be your own downfall sooner or later. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings downfall of people, of nations, of individuals in various ways. Sometimes He just, you know, inflicts a national catastrophe, sometimes a sudden one, sometimes a gradual one, maybe a drought or whatever it might be. And sometimes He put this kind of people who gradually corrode the fabric of the country in various ways, or the eat away at everything that was supposed to be for the nation and for the benefit of the nation. And then we find that this thing filters down slowly. Some feel the pinch immediately and some feel it later. That's why we have to always make dua to Allah Ta'ala. When we make dua at whatever time it might be, don't only make for ourselves, make for our rulers also, that Allah puts good rulers. And if we are in the situation where we have rulers that do not have iman and deen like how we have, still we can ask Allah Ta'ala that He must give them proper guidance. Because there are a lot of countries where the rulers are not Muslim, But they are doing a good job of running their countries in terms of their economies and in terms of their justice system and whatever it might be. So this dua is very, very important at all times. Because if things go wrong at the highest seat, at the level that is going on at the moment, then may Allah Ta'ala save us, my brothers. But you know, it must not filter down and sooner or later catch up with everyone else down there. So political analysts and everybody have had their say. We are not even in that position to make any kind of comment. But if you look at what state of nation speeches used to be in the past, and you see what is happening now and what happens before that, it's just totally two different worlds we are living in. You can't imagine what is happening. Just very briefly, if you look at what de Klerk said in 1990, for example, in the state of the nation speech at that time, and he let the people face one reality. He says that this country here, for us to save it and to ensure stability and goodness for everybody, we have to start working with everybody. And he mentioned there at that time that, you know what, I'm going to be releasing President Nelson, I'm going to be releasing Nelson Mandela. We have to face up to it. Now, that was a speech a man made with a lot of courage and with reality in front of him. So, and then we find all the other issues that are discussed in those speeches are also of interest, that what is supposed to be addressed and what the people are expecting, what has been achieved, what is happening, and what is expected to be happening. But I think everything was lost. Nobody knows what happened yesterday, actually, except for that one circus and that theatrical display that was seen there. So one of the analysts puts a very good point, and he says that this whole thing could have been averted, but the media was actually waiting for something to happen. Then they start knocking everybody the next morning. But they were expecting something to happen. Everybody knew something is going to happen. So on an occasion like that, a wise leader will know how to take out the wind from the sails, as you say, take the fight out. And a courageous leader would have done that. You are here to ask when I'm going to pay the money for my home, my private home in Nkandla. Then I am telling you now that I'm going to look at the excess money that has been spent, and I'm going to start making arrangements to pay for it. I accept the report, and everything will be sorted out. Nobody got anything to say after that, because that was the whole agitation all about. That needed courage for somebody to say. But you have to have courage. You have to be a leader to say those kind of things. So this is just one of the comments that are being made. There were so many other strategies that could have been put into place, for example, whereby this whole thing could have been averted. Generally, while people are laughing in their hearts, it is putting a great amount of sadness that where are we going? So as people living in the country, we have to make a lot of dua. Then, my brothers, that's the one thing. Then we must also, we are Muslimin, we must worry of the state of the Muslim nation. We go one step further from there. That the state of the Muslim nation also is in need of great, great repair as such, and a great reform. So whatever we know to be the truth, many times we don't know what the media is putting in front of us that will actually tell us what the nation or the state of the nation is. But alhamdulillah, many times we get first-hand reports, and the best report I think we can get from anybody with regard to what is the state of any ummati or any nation is our Tabligh Jamaat brothers. When they go out in Jamaat, they meet the grassroots level people. They go door to door. They meet everybody. And they are told by the people, this, like this, and this. So that gives us a fair. So there's no media involved in there. They get an opportunity of meeting the people, talking about Allah, talking about how we can improve ourselves. And in that, we find a lot of information coming through. So when Jamaats come back and our brothers come back, make a point of sitting and asking the brother if they have what they call a Karguzari report back. It will tell us, because the media will never tell us. They will tell us a different story. They will exaggerate, or they will leave out whatever the case may be. Now, my respected friends and brothers, what is expected to be seen or heard in a state of nation address? A lot of people don't even know what to expect or what was said. And then again, obviously, the monotonous way in which the person was talking in the normal way with the occasional laugh in between. Everything was lost. Nobody knew exactly what. So in a state of nation, first of all, what is mentioned there is, amongst other things, what is the crisis of the nation? No nation can say we are having no crisis. There is always some or other issue that needs to be addressed. Over and above that, then they will look at the economy, they will look at socio-economic factors. They will look at political issues, in-house political issues. They will look at foreign relations, and they will look at all other matters that affect the individual, what has been done and what will definitely be done, what promises were broken openly, that was not done in the past, what promises were made was not fulfilled. These are the things that are normally expected to be addressed in a state of nation address. So whatever was heard, whatever was not heard, people can read up and listen to any podcast, whatever it might be. But let us look at now, we take this whole discussion to how did our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam address the state of his nation, of the Ummah at that time. And what guidelines did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam leave for us? Because end of the day, that is where we come from. And there is no two ways about it. The political analysts of that time and of this time, and the researchers and the scholars who have made an in-depth study of how Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam transformed a nation that was lower than animals to the height of the pride of mankind, there must have been some great guidelines. It is something to marvel. It is something to take a lesson from. And it's something to be proud of, my respected friends and brothers. So that is a whole entire lesson. There can be so many different bayans just on the various aspects of what affects a nation, what should be done to put a nation right and to reform them. And thereafter, how did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam change in 23 years, people and a nation that were so wild, and to the title of radiyallahu ta'ala anhum maradu an. How did he bring about such great scholars and leaders, statesmen, like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, like Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was facing a political crisis at the time of the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how he took on that challenge. That was a political crisis. There was internal strife. There were senior sahaba that were opposing Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu on certain decisions, political decisions he was making at that time. For example, should we confront the threats of the Romans and the Persians at that time? Or should we worry about the internal situation here? What about the people that are leaving the deen? What about the people that are refusing to pay zakat? All these things were in-house internal issues. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had just left the Ummah, so the Ummah was leaderless at that time, and a new leader had just come on, and he had to make decisions on his feet, as we would say. But he was trained by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So not only did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam train and change and reform an entire nation, but we can handpick individuals by the dozen, by the hundreds, who became great statespersons and great leaders. Look at their speeches, look at their actions. Then we have Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and we have Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and we have Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and we have 101 other names that we can give of the Sahaba and those that came after, and various other conquerors right up till the conqueror of Turkey, Sultan Muhammad Fatih rahimahullah. So these were people who had based their, and who had modeled their reform efforts on that of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam set out, the first and the most important thing that he spelled out to anybody was that he linked them up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You look at all the orations of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, there are lots of them that are recorded in the books of Sirah. He says, "Usikum wa nafsi bi taqwallah." I command you and I advise you. I advise myself with the consciousness of Allah ta'ala. He linked up the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is part of the plan. If you have to say a 5-point plan, for example, of how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam transformed the state of a nation, then that is one of the first and the most outstanding things. That if you want to run your affairs without fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without the divine guidance that has come to me, you won't get it right. So he had divine guidance from Allah Ta'ala, and he linked everybody up to Allah. And that should be our principle. We have got our little nation at home, you know, our little families. When we want to put things right, where do we start from? we are supposed to start also at that same level, my respected friends and brothers. Turn to Allah and see how much of Allah consciousness is taking place amongst the children. And many times people come last, after everything has failed, then they say, you know what, you need to go and speak to Maulana, he needs to sort you out, please talk to him. And sometimes, it's a bit late also, but good, alhamdulillah, even at that late stage, whichever Maulana is there, whoever, you speak to the person. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and besides that, he had the divine guidance from Allah Ta'ala, he had such skills and such professional ways of how to deal with the people. And he had influence just by the virtue of his beautiful character. It was a very noble and a very attractive personality. So the leader himself has to have some kind of, you know, charisma and charm and influence that when he speaks, the people are going to listen. Not that people are going to make a mock and start laughing at him and say whatever is being said. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Inni umirtu an akuna awwala man aslam." The leader by himself, he is supposed to be the first who submits to the orders and the commands of Allah. If the leader himself is busy siphoning the resources of the nation and busy siphoning from the coffers and allowing all those under him to do that, and then he's saying there's a crime situation and we have to address corruption and we have to address fraud, then it's like such a big joke. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Umirtu li'adila baynakum." I have been commanded that I must establish justice between you. And that is one of the things that a nation is supposed to have. If there is no justice, when justice is gone, when those in power take away and they start interfering in the judiciary, when they start changing laws and rules and they start influencing and intimidating and bribing those that are in charge of the laws and the law-making process and the passing of verdicts and that, that country is way fast on its way down, my respected. There is zulm taking place there, and it is just a matter of time that things are going to go haywire. Once a Muslim lady from the Ansar, she stole from a Jew. And this matter was brought to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The women and the clan people of this Muslim lady gave evidence to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to save this woman. But the evidence that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received was totally different. And it was not what these people were saying. He received reliable